Steve Sherlock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 593 in the series. This shares my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. This is one of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior council meeting, akin to one of the many post-game analysis broadcasts we're all familiar with here in New England. This will be a discussion focused on the prior town council meeting. Okay, what just happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? In this particular session, we cover the following key topics: proclamations and recognitions, certainly the retirement of Dale Kurtz, Bristol Savings Bank with a significant donation, and a recognition of the 4th of July Committee. There was a hearing on the zoning bylaw amendment that was continued because the planning board had not yet completed their piece. There was a license transaction change of manager for 99 restaurants. And then a discussion on the presentations and discussion section around a potential trash and recycling fee increase, the first pass of which was approved. In the Council of Comments, we also discussed the Councilor Kelly's resignation. The show notes include links to the meeting agenda and associated documents. Our conversation runs about 23 minutes. So let's listen into my quarterbacking session with Tom Mercer.
Okay, Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, WFPR.FM, anywhere on the internet, or 102.9 here on the local Franklin area dial. Today with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. Tom, thanks for joining and doing this. It's been a month because of the schedules and whatever that we've got. So we've got a few things to catch up on.
Absolutely, Steve. Thank you for having me. It has been a little bit of a little while, but you know, we have our the council has a summer schedule where we only do one meeting in July and one in August. So it seems like forever when you're used to it every couple of weeks. So
I know. And then for the listeners, it's not your fault. It was my fault. I was away, so that's why we're 1 week delayed. But I thoroughly appreciate taking your time to do this. And again, for the listeners who may be joining us for the first time, this is meant to be a series of conversations to provide a recap of the prior meeting. So yeah, Wednesday, August 18th was the only meeting in August. And this is going to be a discussion focused on that meeting and effectively answering kind of two questions. Okay, what just happened? And what does it mean for us Franklin residents and taxpayers? So without further ado, you started off with some recognitions to at least three groups, individuals, and we can go that way.
Sure. You know, our first proclamation and recognition was one that is very near and dear to all of us. And that was Dale Kurtz's retirement, our veterans service officer who retired. And we put together a proclamation for Dale, and I wish him nothing but the best, but just a great guy that's done so many good things for the veteran community, not just Franklin, in the surrounding towns as well.
Right.
Just a wonderful guy and an integral part of a lot of the good things that you've seen happen on the common, as far as memorials and so forth. And he will be truly missed. So that was a really nice recognition that we had an opportunity to do.
Yes, indeed. And I was pleased knowing that he was retiring. I was away. I was at the senior center yesterday and I happened to see him. He was still around. Apparently his last day is Friday. So yeah. I thanked him for his service, et cetera, because yeah, to your point, between the Veterans Walkway, the variety of recognitions, the Memorial Day events, the Veterans Day events, there is so much that he does in addition to his daily stuff. And it's effectively made such an impact that while his was effectively a part-time position and we shared that with another community, we at least, as I understand going forward, we're creating a full-time position going forward, right, to replace
that. That is correct. So, Yeah, it was a very good night to be able to do that and thank Dale for his service. So we certainly wish him well in retirement. I'm not sure he'll ever go completely away, but he'll be around for us to give a quick call to for any questions. So
yeah, that's, in between that's taking care of his grandkids, you know, he can answer a phone call.
Yeah, exactly.
And he certainly is willing to do so. He reinforced that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the next piece, a recognition for the Bristol Savings Bank, who gave a rather nice sizable award to the fire department.
Yes, they did. And that was, you know, Bristol came forward with a $25,000 donation to the fire department to be used for equipment and so forth. And it's just it was such a great gift from them. A lot of their people were there. We brought a truck down so that we could take some pictures in front of the truck with them donating the check. And excuse me. And I think it was such a sizable check that we felt it was worth making a little deal about, because sure, not too often you get a $25,000 donation. So it was great to have him there, great to thank him for this donation to the community and the fire department. So that was a good thing. And I think it's important to also note that, you know, we also have other banks in the community that have done digital bank has donated every year to the fire and the police department, and Rockland and Dean, and all of the banks are very supportive of our fire departments and police departments. And it seems to be public safety is kind of the direction that they like to go with their donations. Mm-hmm. And we certainly appreciate everything they do, all of them, for our community. So,
And I think it's good for two additional reasons, certainly to add to yours, but not to take away by any means. But it certainly gives recognition, obviously, to the work being done by the fire department in this case, but police department as well. And it also gives an opportunity to acknowledge the banks for their local contributions, which is so important. As we talked in other places, you know, the business of Franklin involves the businesses as well as the residents. And that collaborative environment, this is just a good example of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then not too long ago, we had a 4th of July, and there was a couple of volunteers who had stepped up. Obviously, last year they didn't do anything because of the pandemic, but that was an appropriate recognition, at least for them in their efforts in these trying times to bring an event to life.
Yeah, for sure, Steve. And, you know, this is the recognition, obviously, was for Joe Carmignani, Paul Gordon, and who have stepped forward a few years ago to take over from Warren Revell, who in turn took over from Debbie Pellegri, who have worked very hard over the years to build a 4th of July celebration for our community that is an event that's looked forward to by all of our residents. And this year was a rather difficult year because of COVID and not having it last year, and still being under some COVID restrictions this year. They had to do some hard soul searching to see if they wanted to put the time and effort in to keep it at least something going. And they did. It was a great success. And I certainly, for the community and from the town council, thank them for the time and effort they've put in And again, these are all volunteers that do all this work. And it's great to see them step forward and then at the same time be recognized by the council and the community for all their hard work.
Yep, good news. Good news, of course. And yeah, they also started, I'm sure they certainly kept some things on the, you know, kind of the wire in between. But to your point, with the pandemic, they really didn't, until I think it was mid-May, actually get the green light that they could do something. So they had a short time period to pull it together, and they did well.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. And we're hoping for a really big and back to the old kind of 4th of July celebration in 2022.
Yep. Yep. And we'll have a couple of other trials, as I think we've talked, and I know we'll be probably talking with Jamie before as well, but the Cultural Festival is on target for September. The Oktoberfest is on target for October. And still in the rest of the summer, we've got the Farmers Market and Concerts on the Common. I think actually it's either finished or it's finishing tomorrow. So there's still
I think there's one more. So,
So to keep folks out and around successfully and healthfully as well.
Yeah.
And then one of your protocol pieces, bylaw pieces, you had a hearing, and I guess the hearing was continued again further on a bylaw amendment?
Yes, it was a bylaw amendment on downtown parking, loading, and driveway requirements. And really what happens is during this process is we come up with a zoning bylaw and or amendment to the bylaw, and we forward it to the planning board to get their expertise and opinion as to the success or not success of the bylaw. So they met on it the Monday prior to our meeting, and they continued their public hearing on it. So it didn't really make sense for us until we had heard back from them. So we continued the hearing and continued it to our next meeting coming up next week.
So. Yeah, September 1st. Yeah. And that's part of the process, at least for those who may not be aware. Clearly, the planning board does their review, discussion, public hearing, et cetera, and then makes a recommendation. And since they had continued and haven't made the recommendation to you at that time, it was appropriate for you to slide it. So it's that's part of the process.
It is, for sure. So, and so obviously another piece that removed one of the legislations for action as well. So
right. In that agenda for the 18th, correct?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And then one of your other pieces of regular business, you had a license transaction where 99 Restaurants was changing manager. So as the license authority, you have to approve that change, but it's more protocol and pro forma.
Pretty much that's what it is. You know, there's always a question or two about the new manager. Where did he come from? He or she come from?
Qualification,
and what's their background and so forth. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And those were asked and answered, then the license transaction change of manager was approved by the council. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then getting into the presentations and discussions, you had an update from Department of Public Works on the trash and recycling. And I know given the overall, meaning worldwide, issues with recycling, it was not totally a surprise for some folks, hopefully, that there was an increase proposed because of the issues with recycling and trash collections, et cetera.
That's correct. The trash is... seems to be always a hot topic when it comes up, but our public works director came in, and Derek Adams, who kind of runs our recycling center as well as our solid waste and recycling. So They were both there to give us kind of an update and presentation and to see where we are and what the needs were as we move forward. And just a side piece that I thought was rather interesting was we put into place the textile recycling back a year or so ago with the pink bags and picking up.
Correct. Yeah.
Clothing and so forth. And in FY21, I thought it was amazing to find out that we have picked up over 210,000 pounds of clothing, which is a significant, certainly, amount that's gone to different sources and being reused, so wherever it can be. So, that was just a little added piece that I thought was quite interesting. And, you know, we went through the volatility of the recycling costs, in 2008, we're paying $15 a ton to get rid of our trash. And in 2020, it was $90 a ton.
Just a little bit of an increase.
Just a little bit of an increase. And because of some things we've done in 2021, it's $40 a ton. So it fluctuates terribly. Yeah. So our new rate this year that was voted by the council a couple of weeks ago was to increase $2 per quarter.
$8 a year.
Yep. So $8 a year, which equates to, for trash pickup, to $286 annually. So, but the increase was really $8 a year.
Right.
So, and, yep. You know, as was brought out to us, if you look at last year where more people were home longer periods of time, didn't go out, creating more trash. So it increased the tonnage. And it continued. We continue to have, as everybody does, supply chain issues with trucks,
yep.
Parts for the trucks.
Drivers,
CDL drivers. You talk to the transportation companies, the bus companies, the truckers. Nobody wants to drive and get their CDLs. And it's certainly created a problem really across the board. It affects everything and everybody, and trash is just another piece of it.
Right.
Looking ahead, we're looking at residential compost bins, where we will be picking up and having these available to us in the up and coming year. So those were really kind of the highlights. Our cost over the last 4 years has pretty much stayed pretty level. $2 is, sure, it's an increase, but it's a minimal increase.
Yeah, I think kudos on a couple of fronts. One, clearly with the textile recycling, that's also an amount that is not being collected as trash. So it does reduce our overall pickup.
Absolutely.
So that takes it out. So thereby we're not incurring the cost. The other piece is, I recall before we instituted the single stream, we were doing $300 a year. So
that is correct.
Increases, we're still less than what we were 11 years ago when we instituted in 2010, if I recall.
Well, actually in 2007.
2007? Okay, so yeah, it goes back it even further.
The cost per household was $300, yep. And our current cost is $286. Yep. So you go back 25 years and pay, well, yeah, roughly 25 years, 24 years, and we're still lower than we were when we instituted the recycling.
So. Right. Yep, definitely. Good.
Just and kudos to Mott Valley. It was a big push in there. Way back.
Yes, yes. It's appropriate to recognize the prior service, clearly, of those who were instrumental in both asking the questions, can we do this? And then to that point as well, with the composting, that if assuming that goes through, that would also reduce the amount of pickup. May exactly. not be a whole lot, but it's still going to be a reduction. So anything saved.
Absolutely. And I applaud the efforts of Derek Adams, who's just done a magnificent job of looking at grants and going out and looking at things we can do to make it better. This compost piece is certainly an exciting piece as we move forward.
Yep, definitely. And I think the other significant news that came out of the meeting, Councillor Kelly has announced his resignation from the council.
Yeah, that's correct, Steve. Councillor Kelly, Matt's a good friend. We've served together for 10 years, and he has given 14 years of, at the last 14 years of his life, he's donated a lot of time and effort to the community between the school committee and the town council and some of the other committees that he's served on. And those are... that's a significant amount of your time given back to your community because of the love you have for your community. And there are parts of it, as we all know, that sometimes can be a little thankless, but certainly his efforts with his time on the school committee and the town council should not go unnoticed. Because so many things that were that are in place today were partly due to Matt's votes, Matt's mm-hmm. passion about many
questions,
things.
His desires, mm-hmm. the whole mix. Yeah,
absolutely. Yep. So he will be missed, and I will miss him sitting on the council. And but I certainly understand and wish him well in the future.
Yep, definitely. Good. Well, I think that kind of covers kind of the highlights from the meeting of the 18th. So unless you've got anything else, I thoroughly appreciate, and I hope all the listeners do as well, you're taking the time to allow us to figure out, okay, what happened? What does it really mean? And then we won't have to wait so long because September 1, there's another meeting and we'll meet right after that. So,
absolutely, Steve. And I thank you for all you do and in putting these quarterbacking sessions together. And I'm glad you had a wonderful vacation and a great trip and can't wait to hear more about your trip. And I'm sure you'll be sharing that with a lot of the public. So,
yes. Yep. We shall. There's some lessons there for sure. Well, yeah. Thank you again.
Okay.
And we'll talk next week.
Look forward to it, Steve. Thank you. And thank you to everyone for listening.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008. and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.